Morning, church.
Good morning.
It is a great joy that we may come together, even under difficult circumstances this morning. We are running away from load shedding. Just now, it will be dark here. So that's why we have cut the time, so that we may have prayer and worship and song. But now, the word of God. Please turn then with me to Revelation chapter number 6. We will read together from verse 1 to 8. And the title of this sermon, simple, something that we know, but something that we must always be reminded as a people of God as we face difficult times and challenges in our lives. Jesus is in control. And it reads as following. Now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seals, of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a loud voice, a voice like thunder, come. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and his rider had a bow, and a crown was given him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature says, come. And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth, so that people should slay one another, and he was given a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard a third living creature says, come. And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and his rider had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what seems to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quarter of wheat for a denarius, and three quarters of barley for a denarius. And do not harm the oil and the wine. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the four living creatures say, come. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword and with famine and with pestilence by the wild beasts of the earth. Praise the Lord, hallelujah and amen. May the good Lord write his eternal truth upon our hearts. Church, it is frightening. It is scary what is happening in our country today. What is happening in the whole world today. There is so much injustice. Children are killed each and every day. School children goes on murdering one another on our streets today. Currently, our country is in serious debt and is unable to come out and is unable to sustain itself. Currently, we're facing things like load shedding as we are standing here today. We are looking forward to help. Where would help come from? Perhaps we need a new dawn, as they put it. Most of the things that we are suffering is things like the state capture, whereby corruption has taken over and people are suffering today. There is so much injustice, there's so much suffering that is going on in our country. The church is on its knees, but the church is not on its knees praying. The church is on its knees, but falling apart into pieces. Why? Because the church is under false representation in the media and out there. The church is led by people who are not church people. The church is seen as the enemy of humanity and abuser of human rights, abuser of human dignity. As we see, people are fed snakes and frogs and petrol. People are being raised from the dead in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is so much suffering. There's so much turmoil, there's so much negativity and tension among the people, even racial tension. We see escalation of sin and promotion of sin in various ways. we see a direct attack towards the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. An attack from within the church and an attack from outside the church. We see the rise of false teachers, the rise of false churches, the rise of false gospel, the rise of false pastors. We see various attacks on God's person and character. We see a decline in holiness. We see a decline on Christian character. There is a debate that is going on now in our country, whether to shut down churches or legislate them so that you can govern them as the government, because people are abusing the name of church. People are abusing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't know what the future holds for us. And as we think of these things, we begin to ask ourselves questions. Perhaps God has forsaken us. We ask ourselves questions. We wonder whether God has given us over to wolves in sheep's clothing. We wonder whether God is still in control. We wish to understand, we wish to have a better understanding, why is God allowing such things to happen upon His church? Perhaps God is judging us. But this morning, I want to bring a simple message to us. I want to remind us as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that Jesus is still in control. Jesus is still seated on His seat. He's seated on the throne. He's seated on the right hand of God above. Jesus is still running the history of this world. We need to take courage. We need to take encouragement from these words. So before us is a letter written by the Apostle John. John writes the message of this book to a church in tribulation. This church, this era, is writing a church that is going through difficult times. John is saying himself is leading with the church through the very same tribulation, the hard times. We see that in Revelation chapter number 1, verse 9, saying, I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient angels that are in Jesus Christ. John is writing a church in tribulation. He himself is suffering the very same tribulation. So as we read this book, we see some distressful news. There is something that brings doubt. There is something that brings fear upon us as we look upon this book. But in the midst of all that, in the midst of despair, in the midst of such perplexity, there is great encouragement for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the encouragement? Jesus has conquered. That is what we see. That is the theme of the book of Revelation. Jesus has conquered. Revelation 5, verse 5. Look at what the word of God says. And one of the elders said it to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and his seven seals. Jesus is victorious. Jesus is in control. Here in chapter number 6, we see a dreadful picture of this world, but we also see the glorious conquest of our Lord Jesus Christ. What we have in this chapter is encouragement and comfort, even in the midst of such a troublesome time, such great distress. What we have in this chapter are the principles which will work together towards the progress of God, towards the consummation of the kingdom of God. God is bringing us some simple principles that He will use as He brings forth this age into its end. As we look at it, these four horses riding together. Please notice, these four horses are riding together. They are galloping throughout the course of history. And church, these horsemen represent no one else either than the Lord Jesus Christ and His army galloping throughout the course of history, carrying God's decree. The armies of God are carrying God's decree. The Lord Jesus Christ is carrying God's decree throughout the history of the world. And these four horses also represent different events throughout the history of this world. different events that will take place, different events that are already taking place, different events leading us to the consummation, leading us to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why four horses, you may ask? Simply because the number four is a universal number in the Bible. This is the number that stands for the four corners of the earth, the north, the east, the south, and the west. So in other words, this is a number representing the earth. So these things are going to take part, they're going to happen throughout the whole earth, the things that we're going to talk about today. However big the earth may be, there is nowhere in this earth where these horses will not be found. What are these horses? Simple. Straight to the point. What are these horses? You may be asking yourself that question. What encouragement can we draw from the message of these horses? So we're going to look at these horses one horse at a time. As we look at these horses one horse at a time, we're also looking in the same time at the horsemen riding on these horses. We have four horses. We have the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse. So firstly, the white horse. Verse number 2. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and his rider had a bow, and a crown was given him, and he came out conquering to conquer. Church, this is John's second vision from chapter number 4 to chapter number 7. This vision gives us a picture of the present time from God's perspective. This is how God sees and looks at the earth at this time. Here in chapter number 6, we see what the church, what each and every Christian should expect in this present age as we live between the first and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What can we expect? In this chapter, four seals are opened. These four seals are opened by the Lord Jesus Christ. And these four seals work together with the four horsemen. We are told a seal is open, behold, the horse came out. A seal is open, behold, the horse came out. Another seal, another seal. These seals are opened by the Lord Jesus Christ. These seals bring a special message to each and every horse. As the seal is opened, a voice is heard saying, come. The voice is not saying, come to John. John says, behold, I heard a voice says, come, and came out a white horse. To this horse, this first horse we are looking at, the white horse, we see a message to conquer, a message to be victorious. Church, in the Bible, horses are a picture of strength and power. They are a picture of fearlessness. When we speak about horse, we're speaking of something that is fearless. Therefore, before us, John is bringing a very powerful message from the Lord Jesus Christ. The voice says, come. It is as if God has enough of sin and injustice in the world. God has looked down upon man and he has seen the heart of man, evil. He has seen that man needs help. And the antidote, the cure, is God saying, come, calling upon the white horse and his rider. He calls this white horse and a horseman. And this white horse on a wire, this white horse ridden by this rider has a message. He's given a message coming out, conquering to conquer. This rider on a white horse is galloping with a positive message, with a message of victory. Church, the Bible tells us that he has a crown on his head. This rider on a white horse is a figure of a king. Only a king who has conquered wear a crown on his head. Therefore, this white horse is not an evil force like many other people would say. It is not a satanic figure that is coming out to destroy the world. Please notice, this white horse is a symbol, as white is a symbol of purity. It is a symbol of purity. This rider has conquered, and this rider has a crown on his head. The rider has defeated his enemies, and he continues to do so throughout the course of history. He comes out conquering to conquer. He rides on victoriously. This white horse is also seen in Revelation 19 verse 11. So that we understand who this white horse is and his rider. Revelation 19 verse 11. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. He is called Faithful and True. Only Jesus Christ can be called Faithful and True. This white horse and his rider is the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, before us is a picture of Jesus powerfully and victoriously riding throughout the history of the world, throughout the four corners of the globe, conquering and to conquer with the gospel. Here we see a message that when it is all being said and done, those who are faithful, those who hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ, those who believe in the faith, those who call upon Him, those who are saved by His blood will overcome. The Bible says they will also wear white. It's a symbol of purity. Why are they wearing white? Because Christ is on a white horse. Christ comes as a symbol of purity. Is a symbol of righteousness and victorious warfare. Psalm 45, verse 3 to 5. There we read of a king who is a type of a Christ. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one. In your splendor and majesty, in your majesty, ride out victoriously for the cause of the truth and meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand teach you awesome deeds. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The people fall under you. How is this the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament? How is this representing this white horse? It is because the Bible interprets itself. Hebrews chapter number 1 verse 8. But of the Son, he says, your throne of God is forever and ever. The scepter of your righteousness is the scripture of your kingdom. But of the Son, that is where the point is. And these words are quoted from the very same Psalm chapter 45. We are told here in Hebrews chapter number 1 verse 8 that Psalm 45 is speaking of the Son. And the Son is the Lord Jesus Christ in this Hebrews chapter number 1. So, Jesus Christ is the one who wears this crown. Jesus Christ is the one who has the bow on his hand. Jesus Christ is the one galloping throughout the course of history on a white horse. Jesus Christ is the one carrying out his gospel throughout the history as a white horse. Jesus is riding and appearing on behalf of his people. Jesus is in control. Jesus is leading the armies of God. That is what we see here in chapter number 6 in the book of Revelation. He's leading the armies of God, conquering to conquer for the goodness of the church throughout all ages. Jesus is in control. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is in control. It would do us good that we hold on to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because through the gospel, Jesus is conquering to conquer. Through the gospel, Jesus is solving the problems of this world. Through the gospel, Jesus is handpicking those who believe on Him, and is going to set them in the kingdom that is everlasting kingdom. Through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, lives are transformed. And this gospel is not found just in one part of the world, but in the four corners of the world, this horse is riding. This horseman is riding, galloping throughout the four corners of the world on a white horse. The gospel church is powerful. Please note, the white horse is on the lead. We read of four horses, but the first horse is a white horse. The white horse is on the lead.
The white horse comes first. Jesus and the gospel are on the lead, leading the terrible horses, leading the terrible situations that are about to be revealed. Jesus and the gospels are on the lead, leading each and every circumstance and the threat towards the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in this age. Church, we have a message here that nothing is happening outside the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the troubles that we see, all the suffering that we go through, Jesus is aware and Jesus is on the lead. Jesus is in control. He is riding on a white horse, making sure that the gospel survives this evil age, making sure that the gospel leaves behind a remarkable symbol of righteousness. Make sure that the gospel leaves within you a new heart. Jesus is riding on a white horse. The gospel, in other words, church, doesn't matter what is happening today. Doesn't matter what the trouble is today. It doesn't matter whether the government will legislate churches and control them. But the gospel will make sure that the church survives. The gospel will survive the false teachers of this world. The gospel will survive all the evil system and the government laws of this world. The gospel will survive all the injustice upon the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today, because Jesus is riding on a white horse. Jesus is coming out conquering to conquer. Because the purity and the righteousness of Jesus is covering the whole earth. The purity of Jesus is covering the whole earth regardless of man's sin. It doesn't matter how much sin there is. The righteousness of Christ is covering the world. It doesn't matter how much the church has failed. The righteousness of Jesus and the purity of our Savior is covering the whole earth. It doesn't matter how much you have sinned. The righteousness of Jesus is able to cover your sins. Therefore, it is comforting to see that the white horse is conquering. It is comforting to see that the white horse is conquering, because as we look at the other church, at the other horses, they will frighten us. But once we know first that Jesus is conquering, we get comfort, because Jesus is powerful against his enemies. When Jesus rose from the dead, he put Satan in bounds. When Jesus rose from the dead, he ushered a millennium. He ushered a long age, this age, the age of the gospel victory, because Jesus is in control. Therefore, nothing will stop the church. Nothing will prevent the gospel from spreading. In the New Testament, the gospel began in Jerusalem. It went to Judea, Samaria, now it's covering the whole earth. Why? Because Jesus is riding on a white horse. His purity is spreading out throughout the world. Because Jesus came out conquering to conquer. The gospel is saving sinners for the glory of God. Nothing will stop the church and the gospel today. Praise to God. Hallelujah and amen. Jesus is in control. He's riding on a white horse. Jesus is ahead of every evil plan that the world may bring. Jesus is in control. Therefore, church, here is an encouragement. Jesus throughout all generations going forth to battle. But we are told that his victory is foretold. His victory is already known. He comes out from all ages conquering to conquer. He's going forth shooting his sharp arrows into the hearts of his enemies, as we saw also in Psalm 45. We saw the very same thing here in chapter number 2. He has a bow on his hand. He has a crown on his head, shooting arrows, bringing God's enemies into subjection of the will of God, bringing you into subjection to the will of God, making sure that you bow to the throne of God. You bow at the feet of the cross. Conquering to conquer. Conquering hearts. Conquering nations. Conquering tribes. The gospel is victorious even in our day. The question, why worry? Let us not be worried. Let our hearts not be troubled. Whatever is happening, Jesus is in control. Of course, we are concerned about our country. We are concerned about the church in this country. But we should never be found so depressed and weary like the world. We must not weary like those who do not have hope. Because Jesus is in control. The gospel will eventually win the day. So what should we do? We go forth preaching the gospel. We go forth carrying the will of God. Bring the good news to the world of sin. Bring the good news to this world that is dying. Because Jesus is riding on a white horse. So the white horse is Jesus and the gospel covering the old earth. Let us look then on the red horse. Number 3 and number 4. Verse 3 and 4. When I opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come!" And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth, so that the people should slay one another, and was given a sword. Church, this is the second horse and its rider. They are riding together, and this is a symbol of war and persecution. The red horse symbolizes war on the earth and persecution in the earth. The persecution indeed of the children of God, but persecution also in general. Moreover, this red horse is a horse that causes war and rumors of war. It takes away peace. It takes away the man-made peace of this world. That is why, church, unless a man has peace with God, he has no peace at all. Why? Because worldly peace can be taken away. We need the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. These horses take away peace. This horse causes war and persecution. This horse causes conflict in the world. But it comes from the throne of God. It follows the white horse. It is red. When you speak of red, the Bible, the color red is the color of wrath and anger. We sense something of wrath and anger. A color of violent emotions. Emotions which cause men to thirst for blood. This horse is the horse that caused men, young men, to stand on the street and rob others. This horse is the horse that causes all the troubles in this world. It causes men to be overwhelmed with lust and gains. People want more. More than they have, more than they can actually be satisfied with. It causes people to be overwhelmed with envy and revenge. People will not just let go of things. They will want to revenge. The rider of this horse received a great sword, as we are told here. What is this sword all about? It's a symbol of war and death and destruction. Sword is something that you use to kill. Not to defend, but to kill. So it's given a sword. It's given a permission to make war. To kill and to destroy. The rider of this horse receives the power to take peace from the earth. Therefore, this red horse and its rider are a picture of wrath going through the whole world. In the four corners of the world, the wrath, persecution, and war is to be found. It is the wrath of God upon the simple people of this world that we are talking about. It may be executed by evil men, but it's the wrath of God upon people who refuse to repent in this gospel age. If we refuse to repent in this gospel age, there is a wrath of God that will be poured upon you. It is also, this is the wrath of God purposed to strengthen the church. The church will be strengthened by the wrath of God. The church will pray because there's persecution in this world. The church will hold on to the promise of Christ. The church will look and gaze upon the beauty of the Savior, knowing that Jesus alone can save the church. This rider reminds the church that God alone is in control. You cannot look for something else, for help from somewhere else. Only help can come from God. The wrath of God aims to prove that God is true, but all men a liar. That indeed, in this world, the Christian will suffer tribulation. However, everything is working out for good for those who love God. Everything is working out for good for those who are called by His name. Everything is working out towards the blessed hope of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, where He will consummate His kingdom, where we will be crowned with Him. Regardless the persecution, regardless the wars, Jesus is in control. It is because of this, of the drive of these hordes on the earth, that the people will lose their humanity. People are no longer human anymore. They have lost the spirit of Ubuntu. It is because of these hordes. Because of these hordes, people lose interest in doing good. People will not treat each other as humans anymore. People will see each other as enemies. People run away from human beings more than they run away from lions. It is because of this hordes that evil that is within people is arose and is called to action. People want something. They want to do something with the liquid power that is invested in them by evil. Their evil within is arose so that nations and tribes will stand against and rise against one another. It is because of this red horse that there is tribalism, xenophobia. It is because of this red horse that people persecute one another. It is because of this red horse going out throughout history, causing havoc. But yet again, it is Christ, church. We are told it is Christ who opens the seal. It is Christ alone who is worthy to open the scroll. So we are told that then this, although it may be happening and it's happening right now, it is Jesus who is in control of this horse. Just like the first horse, Christ is in control. He's in control of the wars of the world. Is in control of the persecution of the church, although it is executed by men, evil men. All these rumors of war comes from evil men, but Jesus is in control. He's bringing everything towards the consummation of the kingdom of God. Everything leads to the second coming of Jesus. Everything leads to the judgment seat of God. That is what we are looking out to. There is no other great event that we are waiting for but the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is appointed for men to die once, and after that it is judgment. All these things lead to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church needs to rejoice because all these things lead to the marriage supper of the Lamb, where the church of God will rejoice with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who conquer will stand with Him. The red horse is permitted to take peace from the earth. It is because of this horse that there is no peace. And it does not matter how many peace treaties that countries will sign. No peace treaty will hold forever in this world. No peace treaty has ever held together for in this earth. No man-made peace lasts. Only the peace of God. That is why the church of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot and should not be at peace with the enemies of God. Even though we must live in peace with everyone, but we cannot be at peace with the enemies of God. In other words, we cannot shake hands as brothers with those religions and those groups of people who deny the Lord Jesus Christ in their doctrine and in their practice. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is separated. Separated from the world. Are you separated from the world? Do you live separate from the things of this world? Are your actions show your separation from the world that is about to be destroyed? I want you to notice this second horse and its rider go forward, the Bible says, slaying individuals and conquering nations. It hits one man at a time, and another time it hits a nation. slaying individuals. This church continues, this horse church continues galloping throughout the course of history, even today. Yes, we are worried about the wars and rumors of wars. But there is a deep spiritual truth here, church. Wars and persecutions performed by men, they also perform a part in the history of God. They perform a part of bringing the kingdom of God to its completion. There will be wars and rumors of wars before we are united with our God. Of course, we do not rejoice when there is war. No, we don't rejoice when there is war. We don't rejoice when the children of God are persecuted. Because war leaves lives, leaves people stranded. Lives are lost. Children are left behind by parents. We don't rejoice when we see wars and rumors of wars. We don't rejoice when there is persecution. But even so, Jesus is in control. So the message is simple, church. The church should pray. Indeed, we must pray. But we must not be worried about how things will turn out. We must not be scared about these white horses, the wars and the rumors of wars, persecution of the church. We must not be scared how things will turn out. Because at the end, all will lead to the victory of our God and Lord. God will turn all these evil things and all the effects of evil into good for the good of the church. Everything is working out together for those who love God. The Bible says everything is working out together for those who love God. Those who are called according to His purpose. What must we do? We must just keep loving God. Regardless of what we see going on in this world. Regardless of this load shedding that I spoke about. And now we are suffering the wrath of load shedding. But Jesus is in control. Someone might be saying, but the church here in chapter number 6 is taken out. The church is in heaven. The church is no more. Some people believe that. But church, let me tell you something. I don't have time to deal with those things right now. The church is not taken out. The church is right where God wants her to be, in the midst of tribulation. The church is exactly where it should be. That is why later on in Revelation chapter number 7, listen to verse 13 and 14. Listen to what God says. Listen to what the Bible tells us. Revelation 7, verse 13 to 14. Then one of the elders addressed me, addressing John, saying, who are these clothed in white robes? And from where have they come? And I said to him, say, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The church will go through and come out of the great tribulation. That is why this message is the message to the church, that the church may be comforted, that the church may be encouraged, that regardless of war and persecution, Jesus is on the white horse, conquering to conquer. Jesus is on the lead. He's leading all these horses. Regardless of the great persecution, Jesus is in control. Therefore, church, although this horse and its rider are permitted to take away peace, although this horse and its rider are permitted to cause war and rumors of war and persecution, none of those things will conquer and destroy the church. No war, no persecution, no suffering will conquer the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. No peaceless situation will cause spiritual turmoil upon the people of God who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 16, verse 33, we know this text. I have said this thing to you,
that in me you may have peace.
Why?
In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome. This horse is coming out taking peace from the earth, but Jesus comes out conquering to conquer, that we as Christians who believe in him may have peace, that we may experience the peace of God. Please note, everywhere in this world, this red horse always followed the white horse. Wars and persecution always followed the gospel. Wherever the gospel is truly preached, wherever people have truly repented from their sin, wars and persecution always came. But at the end of the day, Jesus is in control of all the horses. Of course, we pray that our sovereign God will put an end to all the wars and rumors of wars. We pray that our sovereign God will put an end to the persecution upon his people throughout the world. We pray that the God of our King, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, our sovereign God, will put to an end the war against unborn children in this world, children who are killed in the thousands and thousands in the wombs of their mothers. We pray. But as we pray, we do not lose heart. As we are reminded of this red horse, war and persecution, we don't lose heart. Why? Jesus is in control. He is leading this white horse. What is the black horse? Number three, the black horse. Verse 5 and 6. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a black horse. And his rider had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quarter of wheat for a denarius, and three quarters of barley for a denarius. And do not harm the oil and the wine." This may not make sense to you until you listen what this is about. This dead and scary horse is black. Nobody likes black. Pitch black is scary. Just now my daughter refused to go to the bathroom because it's pitch black. But black in the Bible is a symbol of scarcity and famine. We can confirm that from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 14 verse 2. The Bible says, "Judah moans, and the gates thereof languished. They are black unto the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem, the cry of Jerusalem is gone up." Lamentation 5 verse 10. "Our skins was black like an oven because of the terrible famine." Black speaks of famine. Black speaks of poverty. Black speaks of scarcity, having nothing in the hand. Black is a color of drought and famine. It's a color representing the thousands and millions of children starving in the world. The rider is pictured as one who holds a scale. The Bible says he holds a scale and is weighing things carefully. This is not a scale of judgment. Sometimes the Bible speaks of a scale, but this is a scale that weighs economy. This is a triple beam balance scale where you put one weight on the side and you must put another weight on another side so that it is equal. But as you scale these things, we will realize soon that it is not equal. Life is not fair in this world because of the black horse. He has a balance scale on his hand, weighing things carefully. The Bible says, "I heard a voice saying, a quarter of wheat for denarius." In other words, a measure of wheat for a penny or for a cent. I'm trying to put it in our understanding.
a measure of wheat for a cent, and 3 measures of barley. Some people knows barley. We eat barley. You can substitute it for rice. I'm just trying to make sure we understand, is this in a form of rice as well? A measure of 3 barleys for a penny or for a cent. This is a daily threat, in other words, to our mankind. Those days, even today, a measure of wheat, let's say those days, a measure of wheat was equivalent to a man's subsistence for a day. So when they say a measure of wheat, it is something that you could consume in one day and there was no more. You don't know what you will do and have the next day. 3 meters of barley spoke brings a picture of man's salary, whereby a family lives from hand to mouth. When you get paid, it doesn't even look like you got paid, because all the debts and the prices and everything of this world consume your salary. You wake up each and every morning, but on the 15th of the month, you wonder where we will get transportation, money to go to work, but you're waking up each and every day. A picture of poverty, picture of scarcity. This black horse, it speaks of a day's wage of common men. Therefore, this rider represents scarcity and life lived in poverty. There will be a large number of people living their lives in poverty. This black horse tells us that it is almost everywhere in large number a chasm between the wages of men, the common men today, between their wages and the cost of their living. There is a difference, a big gap between the cost of living and the salary that you get. It's because of this black horse. Because of this black horse, we suffer price hikes of food. Because of this black horse, petrol is up. Because of this black horse, electricity is up, and paraffin and all the daily utilities are up because of the black horse. The voice also says in verse number 6, do not harm the oil and the wine. So there is poverty, but on the other hand, there is richness. Oil and wine speaks of riches, speaks of wealth, speaks of cheerful and feasting. There are those who are feasting, but there are those who are suffering. There is always a contrast between the suffering people and those who are rich. The rich get richer every day, and the poor get poorer by day. Don't harm the oil and the wine. Don't touch this thing. They must continue to exist. Whether we like it or not, it will continue to exist. The enmity between the rich and the poor will be there. The contrast between the rich and the poor will always be there. There will always exist the contrast between poverty and riches. There will always exist the contrast between riches, between basic sustenance and luxury of life. Some people live from hand to mouth. Some people will thrive in riches. This black horse speaks of economic powers. It speaks of economic powers who propagate poverty in the world. Church, this poverty does not come because of anything else, but there are men and women behind poverty. People who take more than they should take and give nothing to those who deserve. Economic powers propagating poverty. It will always be there. These black horses speak of uproar of economic freedom. We see the uproar of economic freedom even in our country, and rightfully so. But it is because of this black horse. People want to be equal. They're fighting each other for food and sustenance because of this black horse. Because of this black horse, there's always a willful and reluctant attitude towards other countries. Countries go out to to put into subjection other countries. They sign massive agreements and treaties to sanction other countries. There is poverty in the world. You look at countries like Zimbabwe and other countries. It is because of great countries sanctioning those countries. Why? That there may be poor people in the world. Whether we like it or not, it is so. That people will wander around the whole world not knowing where is home, causing havoc wherever they go, trying to have something to eat, crime rising, death rising, poverty continues because of this black horse. This horse is sent forth to threaten our social life, to threaten our physical gain and wealth. It is because of this horse that a measure of wheat, it is because of this horse that something cheap cannot be afforded anymore. It is because of this horse that we pay 20 rand for a loaf of bread. This black horse, draining the powers, draining the economy of each and every country. The black horse. It is because of this black horse that we experience unnecessary discrimination, even economically. It is because of this black horse that one race will get a better rate when they buy a house than the other race. It is because of this black horse that one race will get a better insurance than the other race, even though they will qualify in the same way, they live in the same place. It is because of this black horse. It is because of this black horse that one race get a better business opportunity, maybe under the name BEE. It is because of the black horse that there is fights between the poor and the rich. The black horse's aim is to cause starvation and fight over food, fight over economic freedom. So this rider and his black horse is always among us, church. I'm talking about things that we see even today. He continues to do his work, causing people to be greedy and causing leaders of our country to gamble with the lives of the multitude, to feast on the economy of the country, even at the expense of the future of our children. The black horse. Church, this black horse cause all social problems, because through its work the contrast is maintained between the rich and the poor. Because of this black horse, a contrast is maintained between plenty and scarcity. Because of this black horse, a contrast is maintained between wealth and miserable poverty. Because of this horse, most people in the world live from hand to mouth. Their wages are insufficient to provide them basic sustenance. But in all these things, what can we take out? In all these things, the white horse is on the lead. In all these things, Jesus is in control. In all these things, Jesus has the power to save his people. In all these things, the children of God see this black horse and his rider sent forth by the Lamb of God, who opened the scroll, performing his own part to bring the kingdom of God into its consummation. In all these things, the children of God see this black horse. That's not as something that troubles them, but they see this black horse as something that gives them hope. That one day, although we are suffering, Jesus is coming for his church. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. We don't become despair like those who have no hope. Listen to the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, verse 37 to 39. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He loved us. We'll go back to the text. He loved us because he's coming out as the first horse, conquering to conquer, looking out for his church, paving a way for the children of God to live in this world, even though it is a world of suffering. Romans 8 again,
In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus loves us, church. We must not be worried about the black horse. We must not be worried about poverty. We must be concerned, look out for jobs, pray that God will provide for us. But these things have not taken God by surprise. Jesus is in control. And he promised his people that he has conquered. That we may have peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. What about the pale horse? The final horse, horse number four, the pale horse. Verse 7 to 8. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of a living creature say, "Come." And I looked and behold, a pale horse. And his rider had a name, and his name was Death, and Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with a sword and with famine and pestilence by the wild beasts of the earth. Church, a pale color is a gruesome green color. If you have seen a decaying corpse, a decaying body of a dead person, it becomes grayish. A decaying piece of meat, a steak. If you can leave it, it becomes a gruesome green color. That is a pale color. This horse is a horse that represents death. But not only death, Hades is following this death. A state of death is going, picking up the dead bodies that death leaves behind. What a devastating picture. This gruesome pale horse, a picture of death riding through the earth. No one will stop death. Death will continue galloping throughout the world. But one man says, "I have conquered death." That is the Lord Jesus Christ. The world will not conquer death. People will look for means to live longer. People can eat as healthy as they want. Death will come. But this death is not just natural death. This death caused by sickness and diseases. Death propagated by greedy men, causing sickness that cannot be cured. Death spreading forth throughout the world. And Hades picking up the bodies as it were. A picture, gruesome picture of the world falling apart. Dead in its old form, galloping throughout the world. That is what we see. That is the fourth horse. And church, remember, I said, and I'm going to repeat, these horses is not one horse after another. These horses, they are riding together. Wherever there is a red horse, there is a pale horse. Wherever there is a pale horse and a red horse, there is a black horse. But in all this, the white horse is above, is leading. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is picking up the pieces. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is giving hope to the dead. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is taking out people from Hades, as it were, setting up those people in the kingdom of God, into marvelous light of God. Even though Hades may be following this pale horse, but the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is picking up the pieces. It is the gospel and the gospel and the gospel alone that give us hope. It is the gospel and the gospel alone that will hold unto. Even in the time of death, when our loved ones has left us, we'll hold on to the gospel. Where a massive number of people have been killed, we must hold on to the gospel. The solution of this country is the gospel. Where our children kill each other at schools, even today, from colleges, even young ones, threatening each other of witchcraft in our schools, the gospel is the answer. Because death is taking its toll. In high days, he's picking up the pieces as it were. But the gospel is the answer. Government, you're looking for a solution. The gospel is the answer. It's just unfortunate, as I said before. Those who represent the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in our country are as corrupt as death and hiatus. So the government will always look for answers where the answer is before them. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel needs to be sent back to the schools. The gospel needs to be preached in our homes. The gospel needs to be sent back into our workplace so that there is peace, because these black horse still bleed. But the pale horse bring death. However, the white horse conquers everything. Through some color, death will always scatter and destroy mankind in various forms. Be aware of the gruesome pale horse. Death continues to swing with his power. His powerful fist is swinging. He's slaying men. He's slaying women. He's slaying children with his awful sword. It is dead in all forms as he enters our home to slay our loved ones. It is dead in all forms as he steals through the streets of our society. He steals and causing violent killings. Not just the children are killing each other, but accidents because of the pale horse. Thirsty for death. But here the gospel thirsty to give life. Throughout the world, life is lost because of the pale horse. Throughout the world, this rider performs his awful work. But church, at the end of the day, it is good to know that this sin-sick world has behind it a sovereign king who goes through the whole world conquering to conquer. It is good to know that this sick, sin world has behind it a sovereign Lord, a sovereign God, who works according to his plan and timing. There may be calamities and death in the life of the church, but believers are assured, even you are assured this morning, regardless of what you're going through, maybe you are suffering the red horse in your life, maybe you are suffering the black horse, maybe you're suffering the pale horse, but there is a white horse galloping throughout the four corners of the world, bringing hope. There is Jesus and the gospel bringing hope. Glory to God. Hallelujah and amen.
Amen.
Calamities will not bring the church to death. Believers are assured that God is preparing his bride for his everlasting joy. But also, he is judging the world before the church as death sweep the whole nation. It says a quarter of the earth is swept by death. Massive death. People dying. The answer is the gospel. Jesus is in control, presenting these things to the world so that the world may see that the church is the only hope. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen, that God, even in this difficult time, has not taken out his church and is not going to do so. So that the church is the cure of the world. The gospel is the antidote to every sickness that this world has suffered. Church, there's the point. We don't know what will happen. We don't know when, whatever will happen. We don't know what will be the end of all the things that are happening. Nobody knows what will be the end of the things happening is or in his or her own life. Nobody knows where this country is going. We don't know the future of our children. We may plan, we may buy houses, we may buy insurance and educational things. We don't know the future. We don't know whether the church will finally be excommunicated from the community. But what we know is that Jesus is riding on a white horse. What we know is that Jesus is in control. We must rejoice in that Jesus is galloping throughout the earth on a white horse, galloping throughout the cycle of the earth, conquering to conquer. All the other horses, all the other troubles of this world are led, please remember, they are led by the white horse. They don't do as they please. The red horse is not doing as it please. The black horse, the pale horse, no, any of the horses doing what they want to do. They doing what Jesus want them to do. And Jesus has put a limitation. He has put restraining grace so that the church may thrive through the millennium, through the years that the church is on this earth, conquering to conquer. So these horses are not doing what they please, they do what God please. If the horses do what God please, we, the saved children of God, should even do more than these gruesome horses. We must do what God please, what God desire. We must do the will of God. Let us follow the white horse. How do we follow the white horse? We must go on conquering to conquer with the gospel in our own generation. Let the four horsemen remind you of the power, the majesty, the authority, and the dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus is powerful, even in all the different seasons and events of this world. Jesus is powerful in your own life, regardless of what you're going through. You may feel that maybe there's a heavy load of horses upon your shoulder. But let the white horse lift you up. Let the gospel of Jesus lift you up. The gospel alone is the answer. These four horsemen are calling us to see this glorious splendor and power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see the authority of Jesus? He's riding forth, leading all the circumstances, leading all the troubles of this world. It may be death. It may be war, it may be poverty, it may be persecution. He is even greater, powerful than Hades. As Hades pick up the pieces from the death, Jesus saves his people through the white horse. Why? So that all in this, we may not have a troubled heart. That is why we are told this thing. So that in all the suffering, we may be able to wake up each and every morning and say, thank God for the white horse. When we say that, we say, thank God for Jesus and the gospel. He's riding forth, conquering to conquer. So that we all say, to live is Christ, to die is gain. So that we may be able to leave everything in the hands of this faithful Jesus. He is Lord of all history. He is running the history of the world, and every person is running in the history of the world, conquering to conquer. Jesus is everything. Jesus is in control. Jesus loves you. God bless. Amen.